happy day. Yes, a happy day. When Jesus washed, He washed my sins away. Yes, it's a happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Well, what a happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus washed.
When Jesus washed.
When my Jesus washed.
When my Jesus washed.
He washed my sins away. Stand tonight.
How to walk.
Ooh, watch and pray. Yes, He did.
Watch and pray. And live rejoicing.
And live rejoicing.
Live rejoicing.
Every day. Yes, He did. Yes, He did.
Oh, happy day.
What a happy day. Such a happy day.
When my Jesus washed.
Thank God He washed,
he washed my sins away.
What a happy day.
Oh, happy
Lord,
day.
It's such a happy day. Happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Such a happy day. Such a happy day.
Happy, happy day.
Such a happy day.
Day.
When He washed my sins away.
He taught me how.
Aren't you glad that He did, church?
How to walk. Watch and pray.
Oh, yes, He did. On that happy day. Thank You, Lord.
And I can live rejoicing. I can live rejoicing. Every day.
Oh, let's sing about it, church. It's still a happy day, isn't it? Oh, such a happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Happy day.
When my Jesus washed.
He washed my sins away.
Oh, happy day.
Still happy today.
Happy, happy day.
How many of you are happy today?
Oh, happy day.
Yes, it's such a happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Thank You, Lord. Happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When my Jesus was. When my Jesus was.
Jesus was. My sins are
washed them. He washed them away.
It's been a happy day.
It's still
day.
A happy day. Happy day.
Happy day.
Oh, it's such a happy day. Hallelujah. Oh, give Him a big hand. Have a praise. Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in church tonight? Somebody say, I'm glad to be in church. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord on Wednesday night. What a privilege it is. Boys, play some more of that.
Thank you.
Watch and pray. Watch and pray. And live rejoicing. I can live rejoicing.
Oh, yes, we have.
Every day.
Each and every day.
Oh, happy day.
Such a happy day. Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Such a happy day.
Happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When my Jesus washed.
Jesus washed.
Oh, my sins away.
Oh, happy day.
Such a happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Well, happy day. Praise the Lord. Happy day. Amen. All kinds of troubles all around us. All kinds of sickness. All kinds of disease. Living in Satan's Eden. We're living right in his front room. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Aren't you glad God has empowered you to be able to be a Christian here in Satan's Eden? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. Praise the Lord. It's a happy day. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes. Brother Brent, if you'd get ready to lead us in prayer tonight. Brother Jackie Benton, we'll remember him in prayer. Has a severe back and shoulder pain. We just pray that the Lord would touch Brother Jackie, be with him, give him healing in his body. Sister Deanna Dixon, my cousin Deborah is in the last stage of lung disease. She was sent home with hospice care. She is alone and desires our prayers, praying for God's perfect will in her life. So let's just commit that unto the Lord tonight. Sister Linda Phillips offers this announcement tonight and testimony. I want to thank everyone for the cards, food, flowers, and kind words during the loss of my sister, Gail Clark. I love you more than words can say. God bless you all. And if I tell you what, we had a service here Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and again Monday night. I'm telling you, it's just like a revival breaking out at funeral services. It really was. We had a time, didn't we? We certainly had a time. And I just, if the Lord would have been so gracious to let Sister Susan and Sister Gail take a peek over the banister, it's untenable what kind of shine they cut in glory. Just what God has done for our thoughts about that and our thoughts about those services, to know where they're at, to know how they made it across. Well, it makes me want to get there too, don't it you? Praise the Lord. And we love Brother Jerry and Sister Linda too, don't we? We certainly do. Amen. Brother Dan, Sister Judy Dyer, we love those folks as well. As they go through this time, we'll just pray for Brother Sam and the family that the Lord would be mindful of him. I spoke with him yesterday, and he was absolutely overwhelmed at the service here on Monday night for Sister Gail Clark. So we want to just praise the Lord for what he means to us. Brother Steve Prasad from New York called to request prayer for a woman by the name of Ingrid. She is the ex-wife of a brother in the message and was struck by a vehicle last Thursday. She suffered a broken hip and brain damage. Brother Steve requests that we pray for the healing of her body and soul. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Also another request from over in the library. Sister Victoria Thomas from Georgia called to request continued prayer for her family and herself. They all are experiencing ongoing health issues, and she asked that we would pray for healing, strength, and encouragement, and godly wisdom to teach her children about Christ and God's Word. So let's remember that prayer request tonight. I want to pray for Brother Eugene Kennedy, not doing well today, so let's pray for our brother. I want to pray for Brother Greg, Sister Shirley Robbins, both not feeling well. Let's remember those folks in prayer. Also, Brother Jerry Glenn had to go to the ER due to a reaction to some medication that he was given. So let's pray that all will be well there. We'll remember Sister Brenda Harmon suffering back pain and Rachel Estep suffering from knee pain. So let's remember those needs tonight. Sister Lona says to please remember my niece Heidi in prayer. She has lupus and is having major health problems related to that. So let's remember that need tonight. And Brother Tom and Sister Sharon Sproles offers this testimony tonight. We asked for prayer for our daughter Jessica some 6 months ago. She had her surgery and is really, really doing well. She is at home recovering, and they want to praise the Lord and thank you for your prayers and thank God for His healing touch. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight if you have a need. Aren't you glad we're serving an awesome God tonight? Somebody say He is an awesome God. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Brad, if you'd come, take us to the Lord. Let's invite His presence into this service tonight and ask Him to have His divine will on all these requests. Appreciate this guy right here, don't we? Amen. God bless you, Brother Brad.
Just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come once again, Lord, in Your presence, Lord. We just bow our hearts to You, Father. We just thank You, Father, for the chance to be able to come together and to be able to be put under this ministry, Lord. To be able to be identified with this message, Lord. And God, we just thank You for a place on this hill, Lord God, where we can come and just worship You in spirit and truth and not have to worry about any man's doctrines coming in, Lord God. But it's You taking over vessels and just being able to get them to give over to You. And You just be able to speak to our hearts and things that we have need of, Lord. We're so thankful for that. We just never want to take that for granted. And Lord, we just pray that You just be mindful of the service, Lord. Pray that You be mindful of Brother Donnie and the musicians out here, Lord God, and even the lay members, the brothers in the back, Lord. Each of us, Father, those that are streaming, we pray that You just bless them too. And God, we pray that You just take any human instrumentality out of the way, Father. You just pray that You just be able to speak to our hearts, Lord God. Just give us a heart to seek You, Lord. Just take the blinders of the world away. Just wash us clean to be able to just focus on You, Father. And God, we just pray that these requests here, Lord, we know that there's many needs here, Lord. Many of them are in their body, Lord, but there were many unspoken ones as well, Father, and You're aware of each every heart and each every circumstance. And God, we just know that You know the outcome, Lord. God, You already see it as if it's already done, Lord. And God, we just pray that You just be with them and just be according to Your will, Lord. We pray that You just heal Brother Eugene, Lord, and just be with all those that were sick in their body and hurting their body, Father. We pray that You just be mindful of the service tonight once more, Lord. We just be able to break chains, Lord God. If there's anything holding us back, Father, we just pray that we just want to give it over to You and You just help us, Lord God, to be able to just walk away as better Christians here tonight, Lord God, than we walked in. Father, I'm so thankful to be a part of this church. I'm so thankful to be a part of the bride, Lord. I'm so thankful to have my place, Lord. It may not be the biggest grain of sand, but I'm one of the grains of sand on that beach, Lord. And I'm so thankful, Father. I'm thankful to find my place, Lord. I'm thankful for the ministry here. I'm thankful for the musicians, for the people who pour out their heart to God out here on this platform. And God, I'm just so thankful to be identified with this message. I'm just thankful for You, Lord. Thank You for touching my heart, and thank You for just wiping away all the darkness and be able to help me, Lord, each day to stand. And God, we just pray that You just be mindful of each of these requests once more, Lord. I can't remember them all, but Father, I know I don't have to rely on my own memory, Lord. I just rely on You. You are already aware of them, Father. And God, we just pray that we just lift them up to You and just pray that You be able to just take them according to Your will and just know that You can glorify Yourself as a healer, as a deliverer, as an encourager, as a comforter. And God, we know that You are able and more than able to be able to take these things on. And Father, we just commit this service to You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. It wasn't probably around 2 years ago, if that long, that Brother Brett couldn't pray a prayer like that. Is that right, Brother Brett? Well, where the Lord has brought my brother to. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? God bless you. And to our young people, God bless every one of you, and we're so proud of you. We really are. We're just really, really proud of you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. There was a note put, I believe, over in the library, maybe in the fellowship hall, in regard to all the sisters maybe that took part in the preparation of the meal and everything that took place here on Sunday afternoon. And in going back to what Sister Linda and Brother Jerry had said in the card, we want to say if you had anything to do with that, sisters and brothers alike, you did a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job. Give those folks a nice hand tonight. I know Brother Dan, Sister Judy's very, and the folks from Maryville, they was kind of just, they was taken back by all that, wasn't it, Brother Dan? Praise the Lord. I thank you for that. There'll be a trustee meeting tonight after service. Remember that. Ushers, come and get every dime you can get tonight. Get every nickel you can get, buddy. Hey, we need it. Give these ushers a good hand. They're kind of good guys themselves, aren't they? Praise the Lord. If you're a visitor tonight, we want to welcome you to this service. If you're streaming, God bless you. Hope this service is a great blessing to you from wherever you're streaming this service from. Let's sing a song tonight. The holy hills of heaven, they're calling for us, aren't they? Let's sing it with all of our heart. But a prison, bars of bones, they hold my soul.
But the doors of glass,
hallelujah,
are gonna burst.
Yes, they are.
Open.
Just as sure as we're here.
When the
take my flight like a mighty eagle. When the hills of hope start calling me, to sing with all your heart. This house of flesh, it's but a prison, bars of bones, they hold my soul. Yes, sir.
When my father says,
hallelujah,
my theophany free,
well, we're going to take their heavenly flight
like a mighty eagle.
When the hills of hope course, just before we change the order of the service tonight, there's still power in the name of Jesus. You believe that with all your heart? What's the rest of you believe? My goodness, how many of you believe there's still power in the name of Jesus? Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh yes, there's power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, 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 break every chain. There's an army rising up. Oh, sing it if you're part of it. There's an army.
We are rising.
Oh, there's an army. Oh, he'll break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. He'll break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. I can hear the chains, they're falling. I can hear the chains, they're falling. I can hear the chains, they're falling. He'll break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's still power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. He can break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain. He can break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful tonight that we know about that power. Lord, that we have experienced it firsthand. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that our souls have been risen from the dead. Hallelujah. We who were dead in trespasses and sin, we have been quickened and made alive in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight, Father, as we endeavor to break the bread of life. Dear God, may you help me to get out of the way. Help me, Father, to just be an instrument by which you can speak your thoughts, Lord. You see, Heavenly Father, this handkerchief that I have my hand laid upon here, Lord, for our brother Don Cooper, this need in his body. I'm asking you, Lord, that you'd move for our brother. The power of the enemy is no comparison to the power of God. Amen. Move for our brother, I pray, Father. Speak to us through your word tonight. Write it indelibly upon our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. How many is happy to be a Christian?
Amen.
I mean a real Christian. Bible believing, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized.
Amen.
Christian. A Let's turn to Exodus chapter 2, if you would, verse 16. I want to speak tonight on the lives of the prophets again, and would like to look at Moses. Exodus chapter 2, verse 16. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters. They came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. When they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it you are come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds." An Egyptian. I thought he was a Hebrew. But he still looked, apparently dressed, and talked like Laodicea. I mean, an Egyptian. An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man. And he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. Time will tell whether or not this is a gift. What are y'all doing this for? God bless you. Maybe see him. Prophets and their humanity are like all other human beings. They don't come to the earth perfect. They do not come to the earth with a perfect character. They do not come to the earth with even supreme understanding of the Godhead, of the power of God, of even the will of God for their lives. But many times they struggle just like other people do. Moses is certainly this type of an individual. That is, we brought him out of Egypt the last time that we dealt with this a few weeks ago, and bringing him up now to where that Moses must now enter into school. You see, schooling is an important thing, but it depends on the school, of course. If you were wanting to be a medical student, it wouldn't be very wise for you to attend school on a body shop. Now, you might compare that and say, well, the sign says body shop, but they use Bondo. I said they use Bondo and paint and filler and sandpaper. If you want to be a medical student, you wouldn't go to an auto body shop, would you? No. So you would go to a school which would have the understanding of what you felt like you wanted to make in your life. So Moses' school, his first school, was the school chosen by his mother. But yet God would also get some glory out of that, in that he would allow him to be taught in the way of the Egyptians so that he might learn to break away from that and not have it as his strength. Yet no doubt he was well trained, well taught, had a lot of ego, a lot of ambition, a lot of things that he wanted to accomplish. And we know he tried to carry that out before he ever left the land of Egypt and killed the Egyptian. But now he's fixing to enter second term. Now this school that he's going to enter into, it is not one of great hierarchy. You will not find the elite of Egypt in this school. You will not find those of superior intellect in this school. It is a school of humility, the school of beating and thrashing. And most folks, as soon as they see that sign over the door, they're out of town. Because they don't want to go to that kind of school. But God had to let Moses come to this spot. Now, notice in verse 21, "And Moses was content." Content. Look at the word. It means make a beginning, show willingness, undertake to do, to be pleased, to be determined, to accept an invitation. "And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter." So the house of the Midianite was going to be the next great school term for this man called Moses. Now it's going to be a long term. And it's going to be unlearning a lot of the things that he learned down in Egypt. It's amazing how that God will do that process. He'll allow you to be taught this way, and then he'll unteach you all that you were taught in order to break the foundation or the hold of any tradition on your life. He wants to eradicate it in your mind where you see the fallacy of it all. Now, I want you to notice, I found this in history studying about Moses. Ramesses is said by many to be the Pharaoh of the Exodus, built a great monument on which he made an inscription naming the nobility who were present when it was erected. Toward the end of the list, he mentions the Ra Moses, child of the lady and priestess of the sun god Ra. Now, you imagine going to this kind of school. You've got your degrees. Everybody that comes around where you are, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's right, Your Royal Highness. You're such a wonderful guy. We all love you. Oh, sir, you'll make a wonderful Pharaoh. Why, your looks are great. Your attitude is supreme. You're so nice. You're in the right lineage of the sun god Ra. Your mother is the priestess of Ra. Why, you'd make a wonderful, wonderful Pharaoh. Now, you imagine hearing this. As a child, being taught all of this now, being groomed and being trained, fed into him, this ego, all of this thing, Moses, you can be anything you want to be, and some of you think you are teaching your children the right things when you feed that nonsense into their head. You should not teach your children they can be anything they want to be. You should teach them they should be what God wants them to be. Because what they want to be, 9 times out of 10, will be the exact opposite of what God wants for them. You're setting them on the path of destruction. Now you imagine it's going to take God all of these years. Now we picture in our minds, I imagine there's no way that we can truly comprehend the contrast between what this man was whenever he leaves the country of Egypt, people bowing down before him and my just nearly worshiping him, having great expectation of his future, what the man will be, such great potential, and it all fed his pride and all that about him, and now God's going to bring him over here. Going to let him get married. No doubt he could have had the most beautiful women in Egypt. No doubt the people around Egypt, my, all the pretty Egyptian ladies, they just made up their mind. He was their man. And Moses had in his mind that, boy, one day he'd sit around and they'd take them great big old fans with them ostrich feathers on it, and they'd stand there and fan Moses and drop them grapes into his mouth and that Egyptian tea, and they'd file his fingernails and toenails. He'd pile up in a big pile and lay there. Yes, Your Royal Highness. And God kicked him out of the land of Egypt. And he didn't get an ostrich feather, but he got an old crooked staff. Hallelujah. Oh, glory! What is it? The initiation of your second term of school. Amen. Praise be to God. You imagine now, from what we can look at the scripture, and even historically, it doesn't seem that Moses had an ideal type of marriage. Now, you know, it's an amazing thing that God gives a man the kind of woman that the man will need, and vice versa. I'll tell you one thing. I told my wife Carol the other day, I said, I am so glad that the Lord didn't give me a woman like Zipporah. I said, I am so glad with all of my faults and all of my shortcomings, God's let me have a lot of things in my life, but I'm sure glad he didn't pick a woman like that to be mine. Now this man who was mighty in word and deed, he must be humbled. He is a man that basically has no weaknesses. He has been cultured in the way of Egypt. He's been taught. He's been groomed. Hide your weaknesses. Do away with any I can'ts. Oh, he'd fit well in the big church in Houston. He'd have been the right-hand man. He'd have smiled around, and Moses would have been a good associate pastor. But you see, before God could ever use him, God had to teach him human weakness. Now, Moses had to learn it. You said, well, don't we all have that? It depends on your children, how you raise that up in them, and how you instruct them whether or not they think they do have it or don't. And Moses was instructed to banish all signs of weakness and human frailty. It was in his conscience, it was in his subconscious, it was in his soul, it was in his human temperament. It was in this man to be strong, to have this facade of everything is under control. I'm not weak, I'm not frail, nothing will stop me, nothing can get in my way. Oh my. Now he moves from the praise and the great accolades of all the land of Egypt, rubbing shoulders with the mighty princes of Egypt, rubbing shoulders with the mighty teachers and scholars and tutors, and no doubt the princes of Ethiopia and the kings of all the adjoining countries that he had conquered. And this was the upper echelon of the kingdoms of this day. And God changes that, and God sends him to the backside of a desert and surrounds him with sheep. So he goes from the upper echelon of Egypt to that's the way the shepherds would do. This is the same man that just a few months prior to this could speak and people would bow down to his words. Now the only thing he has power over is sheep. You see what God's doing? Many of you wonder why that God has been so long in our lives. We really should marvel. You were taught Baptist ways. You were taught Methodist ways. You were taught Pentecostal ways. And some of you were worse than that when you come to the message. You were taught by men that didn't even know what the message is all about. And God has to get all of this nonsense out of us in order to teach us what he can do with us. It's not how great we are and how wonderful we are. It's how great he is. And God has to spend years of our life teaching us weakness and frailty in order to get us to the spot where we say, I can't do it. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And sometimes family problems are the real answer. Well, I'm going to preach, of course, tonight like none of you all have family problems. And it could be some of them old sorry people from Arizona, you know, that streamed the weekend. Now, Moses was under this special teaching of the Lord. Now, any of you that have had family problems, whether it's a husband and a wife or children or mother-in-law or whatever it is, you know how that family problems, and whether it's natural family problems or church family problems, that family problems can really, really work on you. And it can steal your victory. Now, you take a husband or a wife and you got a companion or a mate, one that is constantly bleeding and bleeding and pulling from you and pulling from you. They can wipe you out. And they demand such high things of you. Oh my, it can wipe you out. A child that is constantly in trouble or something going on in your life. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. And your Moses now is fixing to be introduced to human weaknesses. And the best thing to do is not give him a princess from Egypt. Not give him one of them ostrich-flinging Egyptian Jezebels. Don't give him one of them grape-dropping Egyptian Jezebels. Give him Zipporah. Now, even if your brothers here tonight, any of you have Zipporah, don't smile and I won't give away on you. Okay? Just don't make no move and I come across certain things and we'll just know it's between me and you. Now, his second years, he must be taught by God. It's not philosophy. It's not psychology. It's not geology. It's none of that. What is it? It's going to be 40 years of human weakness. 40 years of solitude. 40 years of a man being on the backside of a desert, pretty much the most of the time, by himself. Oh my. Don't you imagine that'd been quite difficult, leasing accolades, or, oh, your royal highness, your royal highness, and then, don't nobody love me. Don't you know who I am? He didn't need accolades. He did not need flatteries. Neither do you. Neither do I. Oh, we like to be known that we're appreciated. But look, flattery and all that, it only builds up our old stinking pride. Come on now, Happy Valley. Don't get quiet on me. You see, there was a consciousness about his vocation that was awakened while he was in the land of Egypt. But the vocation by which he's going to minister under the teaching of Egypt was under selfishness and pride and arrogance, and God will not allow it to go that way. So his head knowledge would never be able to bring him to that spot to be the deliverer. So in Egypt, he's made over and loved and praised. And you realize this is why Brother Branham said that we go to church. He said, we go to church to hear our faults preached. And he said, if you don't go to church for that reason, you're going for the wrong reason. And I realize folks don't want to go to church for that. They want to go to church. Everybody can make over them and tell them how good they are, but that's not according to the message while we're here. We're here to find our shortcomings, our failures, hide fryings, hide skinnings. Oh my. Notice, let's look a little bit now at the character of Zipporah. Exodus chapter 4, verse 24, we see from what the scripture says about her that she was one who was pretty much in opposition to a lot of the things that Moses had to say. And it came to pass, by the way, in the end that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Now your God is so aggravated at Moses, he's looking for him to kill him. Because Moses hadn't circumcised his own son. He's preaching the token, ain't he, about the token to his own house. And then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son. Some of you boys think you had a rough mommy. Now that's a rough mama. Woo! I'm telling you what, that is a mama that you say yes ma'am to. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet. Oh my Lord. So your God is seeking Moses to kill him. And Zipporah's temper, flares up. She goes outside and gets the rock, cuts the foreskin of the poor little old Gershom. He's right in the middle of this big family argument. And she just flays him wide open, leaves him kicking and squirming and bleeding like a stuck hog, and throws the foreskin right at the feet of Moses and said, there you go. Myself, I just can't keep from wondering if pictures of him in his mind, it wasn't sugar plums, it wasn't Christmas trees and candles, it was them ostrich feathers. And then grapes. I can taste them now. She said, you better open your mouth. What are you doing? Get this out there to God. Yes, dear. Ooh. Surely a bloody husband art thou unto me. So he let him go. God was fixing to kill his prophet. So how about this go over on your prophet's resume? For those of you who want a perfect one. He's a murderer in Egypt. And now this is going to go on his resume, that he's running from God, preaching the token, never even applied the token to his own house. And his wife had to circumcise the son and turns around and calls him a bloody husband. And God says, I reckon I'm going to let you go. Moses was, as we would say, between a rock and a hard place. I mean, you stand there looking at God and you're looking at Zipporah and think, I'm not sure which is the worst, really. I mean, a bloody husband. She says it again. Boy, I mean, she is fighting mad. Yes, sir. A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. Poor little old Gershom went over in the corner. Well, that got her for child abuse in this day, wouldn't it? it amazing that a man with such force of character would need to be married to such a wife? I'm convinced, friends, years ago I used to think that God sent certain people under my ministry for me to help them. And help them get straightened out and help them walk down streets of gold. But you know what? I begin to realize a lot of them folks that I thought was I was sent to help, probably a lot of them was devils and never be saved anyway. And once I begin to look at it a little different, maybe they was allowed to be around me so I'd be a better person. Because I know some of the ones that's caused me the biggest problems are worse off now than they ever was. And I think, was all that time wasted? It wasn't wasted. It might have been wasted on their part, but it wasn't wasted on me. Because I got something good out of it. I became molded. Now, you know what? You realize, mean the things you go through, people in your family, people that you work. Why do I have to work with this person? They aggravate me so much. Why couldn't my best friend, because your best friend many times won't tell you the truth. Your best friend won't cross you out. Sometimes you need somebody like that to show your human weaknesses. Boy, Happy Valley, you're as quiet as a mouse on me here tonight. Sometimes, Brother Jim, we need that opposition. I don't like it either. I hate it. I don't like opposition. I'm like you. I'm a peacemaker and a peace lover. I love peace. I don't like all that sort of thing. But as I look back, I realize that some of those thorns that have gouged in my side that has helped me, because I believe in the millennium, I'm going to be a ruler. And I've got to learn how to rule over heathens now in order to rule over them then. Well, glory. So you know what? We're going to be tried like nobody's ever been tried before. And sometimes it's folks you go to church with. Sometimes it's folks in your family. Sometimes it's folks that you work with. But it will try you. But be faithful, friends, and know God is mindful. Did God not love Moses? He loved him so much. But he loved him so much, he could not let him remain in that Egyptian pride and that Egyptian attitude. The Lord loves you and us so much, he will not let us remain in Laodicea's pride and arrogance and attitude. He will humble us and bring us into his presence. Oh my. You know, it's amazing how that these Old Testament characters, whenever they would name their children, that it was quite expressive of where they were or something that was going through in their life, as well as something they saw in the child. Watch this in Exodus 2:22. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. Yeah. Okay, now wait a minute. I thought he was content. This is his father-in-law. These other women now is his sister-in-laws. And this one is his wife. Why is he now calling his son after what he presently feels he still is? Now, he didn't say I was. Gershom is going to bear this name the rest of his life, which is going to be Moses reiterating what he's feeling, what he's going on right now. What is this man? A stranger. He's got a wife. He's got sister-in-laws. He's got a father-in-law, mother-in-law. Who knows how many kin that there was? Why is he still saying this? It's part of his molding. It's part of his molding. Why? To be a stranger. Why? Oh my. Notice in chapter 18 verse 4, and the name of the other was Eleazar. For the God of my father said he was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. So he names him Eleazar, which is Eleazar. God is my help. So here in the midst of this, now many years later, and he names his second son, and we still see the cry of Moses' heart, God is my help. Listen, Brother Ben says it this way. Moses had fled on the backside of the desert, herding Jethro's sheep. Now 40 years he'd been out there, had a couple of kids going on. His wife, she was a high-tempered little thing. Moses had some temper too. So I imagine they had a big time on the backs of that desert, don't you? God knows how to tame you down. Woo, Lordy. God knows how to tame you down. Boy, you folks are so quiet. It's incredible how quiet you are. Even the single folks that ain't even married, they're not saying anything. I'm preaching the rest of our young people into celibacy, aren't I? There won't be another wedding until the rapture takes place. Now look, you know, every person does not have to have this type of wife. Every girl doesn't have to have this type of man. Praise the Lord. But you see what Moses is so put through and the call that he's got to have, he needs this. Family relations in order to break the man. Hey, if it's only sheep, he's got the ability to take off and go somewhere. If it's his father-in-law, he leave the father-in-law's tent. But when it's his wife, she's in the same tent. I'm just going to act like that y'all are okay with this, and I'm just going to go ahead and preach it like y'all want me to. Notice again. Brother Bam said, God knows how to tame you down. Wow. With a woman. God said 40 years out there I've had you and Zipporah fussing. Good Lord. I've had you and Zipporah fussing. I've had you and Zipporah fussing and carrying on out there in the wilderness, whether you could find out there's some human weakness or not. Whether you're standing up there as a big prince. Hello, Dr. Moses. Good morning, Reverend Sir. Yes, Sir Moses, you're the coming prince. We all think of you now. You're out here in the desert with a bunch of sheep and a high-tempered wife. That fixed him up. Oh my, Moses in an awful shape. And he said, now I can use you when you realize that you're nothing. Now see if Zipporah would have come in and, oh my prince, I am your humble, obedient wife. Do you want grapes first? Tea, mackerel, peaches, apples, pears? What do you want, dear Prince Moses? The ostrich feathers. You imagine all she had to do was look at him. He'd just go to trembling like a little puppy dog. Oh, my. Brother Bam said, that fixed him up. Yes, sir, Moses is in awful shape. He said, now I can use you when you realize you're nothing. Now, come on up here with this burning bush. I want to send you down yonder. Oh, my. God, give us some more of that kind. God, give us more weaklings. That's what we need, weaklings. But friends, are we message weaklings? Oh no. We've been around too long for that. We're strong. Our attitudes, our opinion, our pride, we're above everybody else. We're this, that, the other. And then we wonder why God can't use us. I'll tell you why. We're too strong. We're too smart. We're too stout in our own ability. We've got to get weak in ourselves in order for God to use us. Whew. Oh my. Now, must have been coming pretty close to graduation time. Moses had been taught physiology. He had been taught the molecular structure of Zipporah's temper, that if you didn't move, she would molecularly destruct. He had been taught all kinds of things of science and all kinds of things about common sense. And God was ready to give him his diploma. So God calls a baccalaureate service on the backside of the desert. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no great mighty princes of Egypt.
There's no great renowned men. Sheep are down the bottom of the mountain. But divine presence is upon the hill. Notice in Exodus 2:23, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. And the cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. Stephen says it this way, Acts 7:17, but when the time of the promise drew nigh. You know when we're going in the rapture? When the time of the promise is nigh. Keep your eyes on the promise. Oh yes, there ain't enough devils in hell to stop it when the time of the promise gets nigh. You know when the seven seals was opened? When the time of the promise drew nigh. When did the Messiah come on the earth? When the time of the promise drew nigh. When did Malachi 4 come on the earth? When the time of the promise drew nigh. Hang on. When did I come on the earth? When my time of my promise came nigh. Hallelujah. When will I go in a rapture? When my time of my promise comes for a body change. Hallelujah. Which God has sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. Notice Exodus again. What's these words? And God heard their groaning. And God remembered His covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Notice now, God heard. God remembered. Praise be to God. God was moved by their prayers. Listen to me, children. Don't you ever think in your time of family problem or sickness or whatever's going on that your father's not hearing your prayer. It's a lie of the devil to try to get you to quit praying, because he knows, the devil himself knows, the weakest Christian, when they get down to pray, makes demons in hell tremble. You remember the children of Israel whenever they said, we cannot go up to the land. There's no way in the world we can do it. But 40 years later, Rahab, oh my, she told them spies, when you come across the land, the Spirit left our people. You know what the devil done? The devil reversed that thing on them and put the fear that was on them Canaanites on the children of Israel. If you only recognize, demons in hell tremble when a Holy Ghost filled child of God goes to pray it, but they want to turn it around and make you tremble. They want to make you afraid of them. It's time we rise and understand who we are. We are not meant to be afraid of the devil. Hallelujah. We are children of the Most High God. Jesus said, fear not. God heard. God remembered. Thank you, Lord. Verse 25. And God looked. God heard. God remembered. And God looked. Now I want you to notice what he saw when he looked. God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect. You imagine with an eye of pity and compassion, he looked upon them and God had respect. You talking about a bunch of people that was as lazy as they were spiritually and had all the things about them that they had, and yet God looked upon them with respect. How? The covenant promise to Abraham. Oh. Hallelujah. A favorable regard. A favorable regard. Now, God looked. God heard. God looked. God moved. Then what happened? God gets activated. Oh, my God, gets activated. Look out, devil. Now watch. The baccalaureate services will now be in session. There's only one person that'll be graduating here tonight, but he's achieved great accomplishments. He's come through the school of temper. He's come through the school of marriage. He's come through the school of human weakness. And we're going to give him to the degree of humanity, which he didn't have when he was in Egypt. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now let's look at this setting here. The southern end of the peninsula of Sinai, to which the sacred narrative now takes us, consists of a confused mass of peaks, the highest above 9,000 feet. Some of dark pyrography, but most red granite of different hues, which is broken by strips of sand or gravel, intersected by wadis or glens, which are the beds of winter torrents, dotted here and there with green spots. Now listen where he's at. Chiefly due to perennial fountains. So here he is in a string of mountains. The tallest one is the place he's going to be called to. But there's several different ones which are lower. Red granite. They have little spots of green grass. It's not a total green pasture field. But you got to go hunting for it. And it's 9,000 feet, so the elevation is going to be pretty high since they didn't have a tram or a skyway by which Moses would be lifted up. He's going to have to go to the mountain of God. But yet what's strange about this desolate type of place, it is one of the most fertile places in the Sinai Peninsula. Even though it is so alone and so destitute seemingly, but yet here is where they would bring their flocks in the summer, whenever the other places are dried up. So Moses has heard about this, what was called the mountain of God. Now it's time for him to graduate. And I imagine he was ready. Now notice, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Now, I want you to notice this. This is not a great pillar of marble from Egypt. It is not a great colonnade which has been shaped by the hands of artisans. But God appears to Moses in an acacia bush. An acacia bush. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame out of the fire in the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Notice who this is. Not an angel from the Lord, but the angel of the Lord. So the angel Jehovah, Christ, is now making himself known to his prophet. Who's he going to get his graduation papers from? The angel of Jehovah. Woo! My, you can't beat that type of graduation service. Amen. It wasn't the Lord that come down and gave him a graduation degree out of Egypt. It wasn't the Lord that come down and gave him a graduation degree the first week after he got married to Zipporah. But now that he has completed the course, God himself comes down and is the MC, the master of ceremonies. So here comes Jehovah. Hallelujah. It must be an important time for God himself to come down. Hallelujah. Now notice the pillar of fire appears in this bush. Not a beautiful stately tree, but in a bush. A humble little bush with stickers. The word bush is translated from the Hebrew word seneh. And the word is the name of the thorny shrub in the acacia family, which is common in the traditional Sinai region. So God comes down and appears in a shrub. Hello, brother and sister shrub. Not a great big 90-foot oak, Brother Jim, or a great big pin oak standing there, or the great big beautiful oaks from down in South Carolina off the beautiful plantation, but God came down in a little, oh my, a little old scrubby bush. If God could do that, don't tell me God can't live in my body. What's this progressive revelation of the divine being now? The word, the wild acacia rather, or the thorn bush is all over the desert. It'd be sort of like the tumbleweed. Y'all know what the tumbleweed is out west? So they are so dry and so apart from water that for this thing to be on fire and not be consumed, it would seem almost impossible. What is God wanting to say about the symbolism by which he's reflecting himself? So the bush, the fire was in the bush. So the fire is in the middle of the bush like this, going around and around and around. And the bush is dry and thorny and sticky. And yet the bush is not being burned up. God has three great symbols by which he wants to convey of the bush and the fire in the bush. You see, the bush being on fire is actually a reflection of the children of Israel. Here they are, a small, shrubby, sticky-looking bush down in the land of Egypt. And the fire of persecution is right in the middle of them. And they're persecuted, but they're not burned. They're tormented, but they're not destroyed. God is symbolizing, hallelujah, God is symbolizing he is in the midst of the church. If you could only realize tonight in the middle of your trials, the Lord God is right there in the middle of that bush. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It was a miracle. How could the children of Israel survive the hard bondage? It was a miracle. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 20, but the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as you are this day. So God brought that bush. Hallelujah. Not a great stately tree. Not a great wonderful people. A little old scrubby bush on the side of a mountain somewhere. Oh, don't you understand? The church of the living God is the same way. We're not a great stately people like the rest of the world. We're that little bush tumbling over here and blowing over there and despise and hate it. But let them try to burn us out. They can't do it. Let them try to shut us up. She'll never be shut up. She'll never be burned up. Why? God's in the midst of her. Hallelujah. Notice the bush is preservation. So the bush is preserved by the fire which should annihilate it. Your trials, your tests, the things you go through. Sometimes you look and think, this thing is going to destroy me. But you turn and you look back and you say, how did I come through it? Because the fire was still in the bush. Now let me move one more type to that. The Lord Jesus was being unfolded in the mystery of the bush as well. For we see the reflection of two natures. We see the divine nature by the pillar of fire, Christ the Logos. And we see the human nature of the bush. And we see the mighty God coming down in Christ Jesus through the message of the bush will be the message of redemption and deliverance. That bush also reflects Moses, and that bush also reflects you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Notice Isaiah 53:2, what the Bible says about Jesus. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He should have been annihilated. He should have been consumed. What was it? The divine life buried inside the human bush. They looked at Jesus and say, why, you're just a man. You're this or that. Why? He looked like an ordinary acacia bush to them. They look at you. They look at me. And they think, my, you're just like everybody else. One in one way I am and one way I ain't. Hallelujah. This bush has got fire in it. Hallelujah. I said this bush has got fire in it. Notice Deuteronomy 4:24, the Lord my God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Hallelujah. Oh my. Notice this, and Moses said, I will now turn aside. So it changes from curiosity to reverence. He's just curious. Think of it. That's the way some of y'all came to the message. He was just curious of the way them people dressed or the way they looked or acted or something. You think, there ain't no way I'm getting caught up in that. There ain't no way, but I'm just going to go and check it out just to see what they believe. I mean, I know they're really, really different and strange. But once you got on the ground where the bush was, your curiosity changed to reverence. And you begin to recognize what? The same pillar of fire that Moses saw. Oh my. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the church is not burned. Why is Israel not destroyed? Why isn't Happy Valley absolutely annihilated? Because upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The fire that should consume it is the very thing that's keeping it. The wrath of God that should annihilate us, coming to the mercy of God, is the very thing that keeps us.
Hallelujah.
And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. So now he's curious. Wow. That is so strange. I've never seen an acacia bush being on fire before and not burn. I mean, generally when they're struck by lightning, I've seen it for years of my life being out here in school. Getting away from the house. Glory. Hallelujah. Telling Zipporah I need to go up and pray. Honey, I'll be back in 3 months. I'm going up to pray. So he, out of curiosity, comes over. Now watch God. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, when the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, saw that he turned aside to see God, when the Lord saw God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. What's the interchange now of the two divine names? Oh my. Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. You see, he's the present God. When Jesus was on the earth, he said it this way in Mark 12:26, it's touching the dead that they rise. Have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? Here's Jesus quoting what he said to Moses all these years ago. Now watch. So Moses, in his curiosity, comes up in the presence of God. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Now watch the shoes. It's a sign of reverence. Isaiah 6:2. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. So here the seraphims, which are the sacrifice burners, they have these six wings, three sets of wings. Two here on their face. From the presence of God, they cover themselves. Two on their backs and two on their feet. The prophet said, like Moses, Moses, in respect of God, telling him he was on holy ground, he took off his shoes. He done something to his feet. Paul, in respect to God, reverence, when the angel of the Lord came before him, that pillar of fire, he fell on the ground on his face. Respects. John the Baptist had such respects when he saw Jesus coming. He said, I'm not worthy to touch his feet. The feet showing respect. So putting off the shoes was a symbol of laying aside the pollutions contacted by walking in the everyday walk. So you come up in the presence of God, this pillar of fire, and you reach over and you get your shoes and you take them off, because them shoes symbolize your walk. Okay, so you've been over here, you've been over there, you've done this, you've done that. Remember, when the priests would come in the presence of God, there was a laver on the outside, and they're to wash their feet thereat, that they die not. And it was made from the brass of the looking glasses of the women, the bride. Amen. So they would come in, and this was running water, and they would wash their feet going into the presence of God. And you think you don't need to come to church and be washed by the water of the Word? Oh, friends, how much have we contacted just this week since Sunday? How many things have we picked up, and how many words have you heard? And how much atmosphere have you been out there? It ain't no wonder we need to be washed when we come to the house of God. I think we ought to come in here in a more respectful manner than what we do. I don't think it's a place of frolic and laughing and cutting up. I don't think it's a place that our young people should text back and forth and not pay no attention to the word. The living God meets us here in this place. It ought to be a place that we respect in the presence of God. You see, the essence of reverence lies in the opinion which we form based upon the supreme power around our life and how it affects us. That will depend on how you will reverence that. If you think it's Brother Donnie preaching to you, then you probably won't respect it much. If you think it's one of these other brothers, well, it's old David, it's Daryl, it's Terry or Joe or whoever, you know how they are. If that's what you think it is, then that's the way you will display that reverence toward that. But if you think it could be God, amen. He said, draw not hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Now, how can ground be holy? What makes ground holy? Where would you get any holy dirt? Amen. I thought the devil owned all this. So what made it holy? Divine presence. Now, no doubt God had appeared in a visible way by the name of the mountain of God being given to this place. And no doubt they must have seen something prior to Moses even going there. But we have no historical record or scriptural record where they ever alluded to it as being the holy place. But God himself calls it holy ground. What made it holy? Him. Hang on to your seat. If he made Mount Horeb holy, when he comes in this building, this is holy ground. Then we ought to act like it's holy ground. Amen. Come on, Happy Valley. We ought to act like the Almighty God is here, because he is. And the angels of God are here, because they are. We ought to behave ourselves in this place that the mighty God that stood right there in that burning pillar of fire in that bush is the same one that's gathered right here with us tonight.
Oh my.
Hallelujah. The ground was not holy by its nature. Can't you see yourself? Look where the bush was. The bush was set out in this ground. The church, the bride, Israel, Moses, Christ was set out in this ground. Was the ground holy? Of course not. Are you holy as far as a human being? Of course not. What makes you holy? The presence of the living God. So the pillar of fire comes down and gets in your bush, which is set out in this dirt of humanity. And then God says, this is holy ground. This is my bride. She's without a spot, without a wrinkle, without any such thing. This is my provided place of worship.
Oh my. Look at verse 6.
Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. This presence now awakens what Moses needs. The bush had what Moses lacked. The baptism of the Holy Ghost has what a lot of message folk lack. What is God saying to him? I am the God of the generations. I am the God of the generations. I made myself known to Abraham, Elohim. I made myself known as Jehovah, different one title. But he said, now I want you to know I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I am the God of your generations. Hang on, church. We are not a denomination or something. You know why? Because God don't go back in denominational ages. God is the God of generations of word births. And that's why we stand on the same ground that Paul did and Peter did and James did. God could say the same thing to us tonight. I'm the God of Paul. I'm the God of James. I'm the God of William Branham. I'm the God of Martin Luther. And I am here in the burning bush in order to set you on fire. Oh my. You imagine as his curiosity changes. And he moves into this element of fear. Of course, some Eastern, you know, wrapping, having a robe and a mantle. Excuse me. Because of the dust storms and trying to protect himself and him taking that mantle and pulling it around his face. He's afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. Then God goes on to tell him, I have come down and I'm going to send you. Believe what you want. Believe whatever you want. The same things happen in this day. God saw our bondage in denominations. God saw our bondage in the things was in, Brother Darren, all the mess we was in. And God came down and sent Malachi 4. Which I don't want it. Fine. More for me. Hallelujah. I don't believe it. Perfectly fine with me if you don't. I do. Your unbelief don't hinder God, and your unbelief ain't going to hinder me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I have come down and I am sending you, Elijah. Hallelujah to God. Oh Lord, I can't go. Lord, I can't do it. You know what? Moses graduated with full honors. Why? How did he get his graduation papers? I can't. I ain't got a message. I can't all play the third around. The king does all the thing. Lord, you know I did. I'm the poor the guy. When it comes to talking and stuff, Lord, they'll make fun of me. Lord, I can't talk plain. Lord, you know I got a problem. Now I want to ask you this. How could this man have been an orator in Egypt and now he's stumbling around and can't talk when he meets God? Remember when old Jacob come across that brook that night? God crippled him. You can't keep from wondering if God didn't do something to Moses. Not on his pride, not on that other thing. But if something didn't happen right there, how in the world could it be an orator, a great conqueror, a great man set up and speak such great swelling word? And when he come back up, Pharaoh, yeah, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Oh, great. Don't waste my time. Get out of here. Thus saith the Lord. Would you quit spitting all over me? Let my people go. Yeah, right. If you don't, Pharaoh, God's going to smite you. Graduated with full honors. Oh my. Hallelujah. Oh, we despise our weaknesses. We hate them. We want to doctor them up and act like we ain't got them. If you would only listen to perfect strength to perfect weakness, you'd realize God will take your weaknesses and do the battle with it. That's the very thing. That's how he'll live through us in this day. Our weaknesses, our frailties to get cold, our inclination to do wrong. He will take that very thing and capture it by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He won't send angels down here to conquer this age. He's going to raise up human beings that were born lost, born on the way to hell, and fill them with the Holy Ghost, and they will conquer every demon out of hell. Hallelujah. Why? They've learned their weakness. And no, they can't do it. They're as bad as Moses. Pray for me that I can be able to make it. And Satan and his demons saying, you've got to be kidding me. This is the best God can do. God got a little old Louisiana preacher that his feet's real old tiny cane because he's crippled up when he was a child. Have all these surgeries and have all these screws and pins in his feet. And his feet hurting him almost all the time. And God take him and use him and make him a mouthpiece. And Satan is saying, you gotta be kidding. And God calling a little old boy out of a cornfield down the hills of Kentucky and call him up and call him to preach the gospel. And the devil said, oh no, not Donnie, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, that guy's an absolute heathen. There ain't no way. And God said, step back, Satan, and watch what I'm gonna do with you. God raise up David. God raise up you young sisters, you young brothers, and Satan said, you gotta be kidding me. And God raised them up and said, Lord, I got this weakness, Lord, a toe pain. God said, that's all right. That's the kind of people I look for. Satan says, all right, I am Dr. So-and-so, of theology and biology and microtology and all kinds of ologies. And God said, I can't use you. Some little fella come out of the woods and say, did you want me to do something, Lord? God said, yeah, I'm going to give you a degree, PhD. He said, what? PhD, post-o-digger. Oh, post-o-digger. Okay, I got you. And I'm going to give you a PhD. A PhD? Yeah, pine sapling thicket. And a BA, born again. Yeah. Hallelujah. And oh yeah, I'm going to top it all off with a master's degree. Yeah. Ah, hallelujah. I'm going to give you a master's degree. And you'll stand there and say, and Satan is holding his side. This is great. This is wonderful. These are the mighty conquerors. You all. If I was you, I'd hold my laughing. We ought to have been burned. We ought to have been destroyed. We ought to have been annihilated. But the fire. The fire won't let us be destroyed. Oh my. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the bush. I said, thank you, Lord, for the bush. So God comes down in the bush, just sets the bush on fire. And God does it in such a way that if laboratories had tried to be able to reproduce it, they couldn't do it, save their life. Now we'll take this carbon 514 of polycarbonate, such and such and so, and cross it over with the mectotosity of a recotocopian, all their gibberish, and we'll try to make a bush that won't burn. And God said, what's out of my way, boys? I'm the old pro. This is the way I do it. God just gets in the bush. And Satan said about Peter, I'll tell you one thing, them old boys, they can't even get along. Though you imagine Jesus giving the keys to Peter? This thing won't last 30 days. That was prior to the acacia getting on fire. Hallelujah. But once the thorn bush got on fire, once the sticker got on fire, then you know what? It was a firebrand in the hands of God that the devil could not stop. Oh, I'd like to know what the devil was thinking down in hell on that day of Pentecost, and he was really perplexed at what was going on. Can't figure all this stuff out. I know Jesus has died, went into heaven. I know all that stuff, but I can't figure all this type stuff out. What in the world were they doing up there? They're just sitting up there talking and carrying on. I tried to insinuate a little bit of Baptist doctrine that they already had it, but Peter said, wait a minute, boys. The scripture's got something to say about this. I thought I had them. I know them. They can't do nothing. All of a sudden, a wind. Oh, glory. A wind come in that place. What was it? The bushes are fixing to set on fire. Glory to God. A wind come through them. Pillars of fire come dropping down. Amen. Hallelujah. And took a man that was a soapbox preacher.
couldn't even write his name.
Did you ever understand and figure out how Peter was able to write 1st and 2nd Peter? And use such eloquent words as if though he was a theologian and he couldn't even, ignorant and unlearned, and couldn't even write his own name. God made Moses a stutter and made Peter a theologian. You understand how Brother Jewel Forney learned how to read? The Bible and the Message. Hallelujah. I was in some meetings just a little while back and somebody got up and preached and they didn't have an interpreter there for somebody in another language. But as they sat there in that service, they heard every word of that preaching in their own language. Don't you tell me, my God, the pillar of fire is not among his people. Oh, he's just looking for acacia bushes that he can set on fire with the Holy Ghost.
Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, thank you for your mercy, your great truth. Forgive us for complaining through our schools, Lord. Forgive us when we're tried and we're tested. Forgive us when we complain and grumble. Oh, Jesus, help us. If we can make it through the trials till we can graduate. Lord, we've got a couple of graduations that we have to face. We have to graduate into service. And then after how many of our years of service, Moses had a couple of major graduations in his life. The baccalaureate service is when he graduated in front of the pillar of fire. And then he walked up on the mountain of God and God took him and buried him and he graduated again. So, Lord, we know we've got a couple too. Help us, Lord. The tests, the trials, the difficulties we go through, we may not throw up our hands and quit. Sometimes the flesh may feel like it. But, Lord, help us to keep pressing the battle. Lord Jesus, I got confidence in you. Satan cannot destroy this old acacia bush. Just a little old bush born out of the hills of Kentucky. I'm still a hillbilly, really. I'm not educated. I'm not smart. Don't have no degrees, never graduated from high school, none of that sort of thing. But you picked up that ball of Kentucky dust. You had a purpose in it. Lord, I pray you'd help each of us. We're not all be preachers, we're not all be prophets, but may we all be bushes that are on fire. I don't want to be a great big stately oak standing there, Lord, 90 feet tall, and all this big branches, beautiful stately things. You know how I admire them, Lord. You know, those live oaks, how I love them down in South Carolina. But that wasn't what you appeared to Moses in. But a little old acacia bush, thorns and stickers. It was a perfect representation of Israel, of him, of Christ, and of me. If you're willing to commend me with my stickiness. And I know, Lord, your prophet said we'll have that carnal, sticky nature that'll bother us as long as we live. But thank God for the mercy of God that burns the pillar of fire in the soul. How is it that I'm not destroyed? The same thing that burns out evil protects me. In one sense, it makes no sense. The very thing that should destroy me, that august presence of the mighty God, is the very thing that keeps me. The very thing that Satan looks and studies and says, this will kill him. This will wipe him out. And in reality, it looks like it should. And we come out on the other side of it stronger than we were before. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Keep us up, Lord. How many just raise your hand to the Lord? Lord, keep me. Keep me, Lord. Hallelujah. No matter what you're going through, children. Your husband, your wife, your children, your job, lack of money, whatever it is. He's mindful of you. That thing ought to burn you up. But the same God that's allowing it to happen will say, I am the God of your soul, of your spirit, and of your body. I am the God of your generations, the way I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah to God. If I submit my soul to him, he will make my body obey his word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many hasn't eaten your life tonight before the Lord? I've got one too. I've been sick all day. Would you reach your hand this way? Pray for me. No doubt people out streaming the service as well. Heavenly Father, I bring them before you first. Lord, these sheep, your children. You know their needs, Father. These that have streamed the service, those that might go back and archive it, dear God. I pray for your healing virtue, for your strength, for your uplifting to them, Lord. Whatever they need. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help me tonight, Lord. You see, Father, I haven't felt good all day and just got up about 5:45 from laying down. Get up and put my clothes on and come to church. But I'm so glad I did. Oh, thank you, Lord, for giving me strength. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, we don't want to just worship you and come to church when we feel like it. We want to put forth an effort when we don't feel like it, Lord. I want to preach, Lord, whether the anointing is there, whether it seems like it ain't there, whether I'm well or whether I'm sick. I want to give my best, Lord. Hallelujah. May this fire burn me, Lord God. Consume me. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus, may you minister to the needs of your children. Grant it, I pray, Father. Hallelujah. Lord, you see Brother Darrell not feeling well and supposed to leave tomorrow for a meeting in Florida. I pray, Lord, that you'd touch him. You see, Father, not been feeling well the whole time him, Brother David, was gone to France. May the Spirit of God move down right now where he's standing around in this front row, Lord. May you minister healing virtue to him, Father. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We worship you, great pillar of fire. We worship you, great pillar of fire. No wonder the pillar of fire is a special representation to us message folks. Because that's our Father. That's what birthed us. Hallelujah. The prophet said, question answer 64, the pillar of fire, that light is still here anointing sons of God to bring that word. That's the same Holy Ghost these brothers are standing under right now. Oh, not in the same measure that Brother Branham had it, no. But it's the same Holy Ghost that's coming to speak the words of life to his bride, the words of deliverance, to tell her to be encouraged, to say God's heard, God looked, and God had respect. God remembered your cries. God remembered. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. How many loves him with all your heart? Can we just raise our hands in his presence? Brother David, would you come back and just mess?
He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. That reassurance way down in my soul. Oh, glory. He's got it all. Oh, let's just lift our hands and tell him now. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all. I put my life in his hands. Amen. Lord, I put my life in his hands. I put my life in his hand. So every road I walk now, I'm sure is in his mighty, mighty plan. I put my life. Oh, can we tell him that one more time? Lord, I put my life in your hands. I put my life just like Moses did. Yes, Lord. Oh, I put my life in his hands. Through every road I walk down. Oh, yes, Lord. put my love. He's got it all in control. You believe it tonight. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control.
Let's sing that song, Happy Day. Did you sing it?
I don't know about you, but Moses graduated. I'm glad we're going to graduate one day. What a happy day that's going to be. Amen. Go ahead.
Happy day,
oh glory,
when Jesus walked,
oh when glory,
Jesus walked,
hallelujah,
he washed my sins,
Jesus walked,
when Jesus walked, oh happy day.
Oh, can we sing it before we go now?
Oh, happy day.
He taught me.
Oh, yes.
Taught me
how to walk.
Glory to God.
Watch and pray.
Watch and pray.
Watch and pray.
Oh, Lord, watch and pray.
And live rejoice. Live rejoicing.
My sins away.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
It's such a happy day.
Oh, when Jesus walked. Oh, when Jesus walked.
What do you want?
Watch my sin.
Glory!
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Happy day.
Oh, it's such a happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, when Jesus walked.
When Jesus walked.
I said when Jesus walked.
When Jesus walked.
Oh, when my Jesus walked. Wash my sins away. Oh, oh, happy, happy day.
Hallelujah. Amen. Appreciate the word of God tonight. Amen. If God can use a Moses with a stutter, what can he use you for tonight? Amen. Brother David, I'm not a prophet, but you're a child of God, a son of God. A daughter of God. God bless you. Service this weekend. Come expecting something good from God. You believe he's going to show up? Whenever he shows up, he always shows out. Amen.
Oh, happy day.
God bless you.
Oh, happy day. Oh, when Jesus walked. I said when Jesus walked. Oh, he washed my sins away.
Oh, happy
glory!
Oh, what a happy day.
Amen.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus walked.
Oh, when Jesus walked.
Yes.
When Jesus washed, he washed my sins away.
He taught me how to walk.
Watch and pray.
Oh, happy day.
He told me I can live rejoicing.
Oh,
live rejoicing. Every day. Every day. It was a happy day. Oh, happy day. My sins away. It was a happy day. Happy day. Happy day. When Jesus was. When Jesus was. When Jesus was. Wash my sins away. Oh, happy day. Happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus was. And he told me to run on in.
friend. Well, can't nobody ever do me like my Jesus. Can't nobody ever do me like my Lord. Can't nobody, oh, do me like Jesus. He's my friend. My body, and he told me to run on. He healed my body, and he told me to run on. He healed my body, and he told me to run on. He's my friend. Oh, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody ever do me like my Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. I said, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Oh, can't nobody ever do me.